The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Yes, I'm back to that again. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I'm your hostess, Misty Young, broadcasting to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon on KCIW 100.7 FM. Now, I like to say that Brookings Harbor is the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. It's about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet, really and truly. Where the mountains and the old-growth redwoods meet the sea, Harbor Brookings is home to me. So thank you before we get started to the entire KCIW sound engineering and production crew. This team is amazing. Everyone from our board of directors to the folks that are hitting the streets, attending events, raising money, and helping to put quality, local, custom programming on the air for you, our valued listeners. Now, today we're going to talk about health again and a couple other topics. Not going to mention Dr. Greger too much today. We've got a different article to read that is fascinating, super detailed and in-depth. I can't wait to share that with you. Before we get started, a couple things. I'm not a doctor. I'm a nutrition nerd. You know that. I'm not a scientist. I'm a message deliverer. I said that on purpose that way. I wanted to say I'm a message delivery system, and a deliverer is a good way to say that. So I'm bringing you the science, but I'm not a scientist. I'm bringing you the nutrition, but I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just a nutrition nerd. I study this stuff all the time. All the time. I hold a plant-based nutrition certificate from E. Cornell University's T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies and a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy. Now, what am I reading this week? I'm going to tell you, this week, for fun, I am reading The Four Agreements. It's an older book. Let me see if I can tell you when it was written. I can pop it open here. 1997. It's a pretty old book. It's written by Don Miguel Ruiz, and it's an awesome book about the Toltec wisdom. So the Toltec Nation gives you Toltec wisdom, and this book is just phenomenal. Every time I read it, and this is, I said to my friend this morning, it's the second or third time I've read this book, I always read the first chapter, which always bugs me. I don't like the first chapter, I'm telling you. And every time I reread the first chapter, I'm like, oh God, I hate this book. I whine. And then I get through it, and then I read into the second chapter, and I'm like, oh my God, I love this book. It's the best book I ever read. You know how that goes. And then by the end of the book, I'm always like, I gotta buy this for everybody in my world. So get through the first chapter. It's a little challenging. It's about domestication of people. I know that sounds really weird, but that's what it's about. And then finish the book. This is an awesome book. Is it about health and fitness? It is. It's about mental health and fitness, spiritual health and fitness. You know, I really believe that we have all these faculties to us, not just our five senses that we can see and hear and taste and touch and feel, but that we have these energy systems in our body. Now, this is just my own personal theory that everything starts at the energetic level. And if you reach your arms out to the sides as far as you can, and right now I'm sitting in the studio and I have my arms out as far as I can, and that's about a 6-foot wingspan there because I'm a pretty tall lady. That's about the edges of your personal energy field. Your personal energy field extends out around your body about 3 feet in all directions. It's a sphere. And the vibrations at that form out there at the very end are very fine, very light, very silvery, golden strand-like vibrations. And the closer you get to your body, the more dense and physical the energy gets. Now, you've heard of this before, that there's a physical body, an astral body, an etheric body, the cathartic field, all these things. If you haven't heard those before, that's cool. You're hearing them now on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW. And trust me, I've studied all this stuff in a lot of depth. And it's fascinating then, if you bring your arms in from that extended place, the closer you get to your body, the more dense the energy field gets until you're, this is my body here. I smacked my body close to the microphone. This is my body. It's the most dense form of energy. Now look, energy is everything. It's absolutely everything. It is everything from top to bottom in the universe. And guess what else is energy? Our thoughts are energy. And guess what else is energy? Our words are energy. And when you come back to this idea of energy being everything, and you think about, I really want you to think about this, this idea that in the four agreements, and when I was saying that this is, you know, it's mental fitness, it's spiritual fitness, and, you know, does that deal with physical fitness? It does, because here's a quote from the book. He says, if you take everything personally, you agree with whatever was said. And as soon as you agree, the poison of gossip goes through you and you are trapped in a dream of hell. Whoa. So what is that saying? I mean, that's talking about gossip. Gossip is gross. So, okay, the four agreements. I'm done with that. That's pretty amazing. You know, and another thing, I said I was done with that. I lied. I'm not done with it. There's another thing I want to share with you. And I you know, I don't have permission to read this book. So I'm not reading this book to you. I'm going to read one more quote for you out of this book. And then I'm going to tell you about something that I love. So again, this book is called The Four Agreements, a Toltec wisdom book by Don Miguel Ruiz. And here's a quote. He says, you are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you. Wow. Yeah, of course. And you're like, well, yeah, duh, I know that. Okay, well then stop being offended when somebody says something to you. You're responsible for your response. Did you catch that? You are response able, aka you are able to respond. If someone tells you something crummy and you decide to feel crummy about it, first of all, you get to decide if it's something crummy. Maybe they're just saying words. You're going to put the meaning to the words. You're going to put the emotion to the words. You know, one of my favorite teachers ever is Wayne Dyer. And this whole idea that Don Miguel Ruiz just said, he said, you are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you. Well, in the margins of the book, I wrote down one of my all-time favorite Wayne Dyer quotes. Wayne Dyer says, the only person over whom you have direct and immediate control is you. Wow. Yeah, I know most folks are probably going, well, yeah, duh, I already know that. Awesome. Is your life great? Because if it's not, you're responsible. Is your life in every way meeting your expectations and your needs? Are you growing physically? Are you challenging yourself mentally? Or are you dead already in a living body? My friend and mentor and client, John Maxwell, says most people are dead already. They just don't know it. They're not waking up every day on fire for life, looking for a dream or looking to their own dreams, saying, how can I build what I want in my life? How can I create the love, the joy, the peace, the energy, the prosperity, the abundance, the health, the physical health, the mental health, the spiritual health? How about the financial health? If you're in financial difficulty, what are you doing to change your financial health? What can you do? There's so many things you can do. And the first thing you can do in every one of those situations, whether it's physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, or financial health, the number one action that you can take across the board on all of those factors to begin to generate more energy in the direction of your dreams and goals and desires is to be in a state of grace. And by that, I mean be in gratitude. Yes, gratitude. If you're sitting there and you're listening in and you're like, who is this person and what is she saying? And I don't get it. I don't have anything to be thankful for. Really? Come on now. Maybe you're laying in a bed and you're sick as a dog. And maybe your left leg has been amputated beneath the knee and you're dealing with type 2 diabetes and you're overweight. Okay, cool. You got all that stuff going on? Are you telling me you have absolutely nothing to be thankful for? You're laying in a bed with sheets and a blanket and a roof and a lamp and a light and someone to help you and medications and a TV that you can turn on and off and a radio and a bathroom and running water. There's so many things we can be thankful for, whether it's, again, on our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health, our physical and our financial health. Even the people that are saying, I have nothing. Well, there's financial abundance or there is just abundance. Abundance doesn't always show up in the form of money. It shows up sometimes in resources, right? So it's not about our resources. It's about oftentimes our resourcefulness. And just the fact that you might not have resources, but you have resourcefulness and a state of gratitude can launch and propel you forward. Wow. Isn't that exciting? I don't know about you, but I get excited about stuff like that because You know, there was a time in my life when I had 83 cents and a wonderful man named Gary Young and an old 1962 Volkswagen and a few Coke bottles. That was back in the day. You can still trade Coke bottles for money, but it was new at that time. This is 1979. And you could get a nickel for Coke bottles. We had a bunch of Coke bottles. We had this 83 cents. We had the Volkswagen, half tank of gas. And we smoked then too. So we had a half a pack of cigarettes. We thought we were on top of the world. So here we were, very poor, had nothing, really no jobs, no nothing. And we were extraordinarily happy, laughing, full of fun, joy, energy, gratitude for each other. And that gratitude propelled us. Our life story looks a whole lot different today than it did then. But it has been full of gratitude this whole entire time. Now, another thing I'm gracious for, grateful for, gratitude for, I'm giving you all these different ways to say it, right? You could say, I'm grateful. I'm in a state of grace. I have a gracious approach. Grace, gratitude, all those things, they're part of the same word. In fact, one of these days, I'd like to take that word apart because the base of it all is G-R-A. So that's got to be what, I don't know, some Latin word for really awesome. I don't know. It must mean thankfulness, the part that's G-R-A. Well, we'll get into that some other time. Maybe there's a linguist in the audience who could help me out with that. Okay, so the other book I'm reading this week, you know I'm reading The Four Agreements. The other book I'm reading this week is amazing by Dean Ornish and his lovely wife, Anne Ornish. The book is called Undo It: How Simple Lifestyle Changes Can Reverse Most Chronic Diseases. Reverse. Now, that's not the same word as cure, but isn't it? Isn't it? It doesn't say how they can cure most chronic diseases. It says can reverse. But in fact, if we're taking away the symptoms that lead to diabetes, or taking away the symptoms that lead to heart disease, or taking away the symptoms that lead to dementia or cancer or all of those things, are we not preventing and reversing? I think so. Can we call that a cure? Maybe so. Well, if I told you that the other book that I just was talking about, The Four Agreements, that the first chapter always bums me out, the first chapter of this book blew me away. Chapter one. And I'm not going to read the book to you. A, I don't have permission. B, it would take me a year probably to read you the whole book. It's a 500-page book. I'll probably get it done next week because the book is it's deep and it's thick and it's awesome. But what I want you to know is in the first chapter, you hear about reversing coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, stopping or slowing the progression of early-stage non-aggressive prostate cancer, reversing high blood pressure, reversing elevated cholesterol levels, reversing obesity, reversing some types of early-stage dementia, autoimmune conditions, and how about depression and anxiety? Wow, it's pretty crazy what you're going to read in this book. Anyway, it's called Undo It: How Simple Lifestyle Changes Can Reverse Most Chronic Diseases. If you're into learning about health, nutrition, lifestyle, you know, the first time I ever heard somebody refer to lifestyle disease, this is kind of a strange thing, probably about 2002. And I was a partner and a vice president, the vice president for public relations and a partner in an ad agency in the Reno area. Pretty good position, you know, great salary, super great benefits package, company car, credit card, spending allowance, the whole bit. I mean, it was pretty cool. And a lot of visibility. And I was having heart palpitations. It was kind of strange. I was pretty young then. Let's see, if that was 2002. I'm trying to do some quick math here. It's about not quite 20 years ago. So I was in my late 30s, early 40s. Maybe it's probably 40. Let's say I was 40. I think that's about right. And I ended up in the hospital. I was like, man, I'm having chest pain, just tightness. It wasn't like actual chest pain. I went into the hospital. I said, I feel like there's an elephant on my chest. I'm having trouble just getting deep breaths and my heart is racing. And they were like, oh, well, okay, let's do some tests. So they did some testing. They did a blood pressure test. My blood pressure was elevated. I had a little extra weight to lose at the time. You know, I've got 15 pounds on me now that I want to take off, and I am, but back then it was like 40, maybe 35 pounds. And what they said was, oh, well, you're dealing with some lifestyle conditions, and high blood pressure is a lifestyle condition. And I mean, they said this two or three times, and I was like, why are you saying this is a lifestyle condition? I don't understand what you're saying to me. And she said, well, you're causing this by your lifestyle. I was completely taken aback. I was like, what do you mean I'm causing it by my lifestyle? I'm a victim here. Like, I got high blood pressure. Look at me. I got heart palpitations. Darn it. Look at me, I can't breathe anymore. And she said, you need to stop doing whatever you're doing right now. I've had doctors say that to me a couple of times in my life, and it's taken me a couple of whacks upside the head to really listen. So she said, yeah, you need to stop doing what you're doing right now. You're stressed out. And I thought to myself, I'm not stressed out. Are you kidding? I have got it under control. I got a husband. I got two kids. I've got this great business. I've got all these clients. I've got these proposals and projects and research papers. And blah, 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 blah. Right. Exactly. You do the math. I was stressed out. I didn't think I was. I thought I had it all under control. And actually, I was pretty successful. But I was creating, through that lifestyle, dis-ease in my body. Dis-ease. So now you say that word a little differently. It was dis-ease. But you could say it a little faster and say disease. I was creating disease, lifestyle dis-ease. I was no longer at ease in my physical body. So remember, I was talking earlier about you've got your physical energy system, you've got your emotional energy system, you've got your mental energy system, your spiritual energy system, and your financial energy system. I believe those four on the bottom, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual is at the top, and the financial's on the outside. So I believe you've got all these energy systems, but they all have to work in concert to really work well. God, it's been a crazy busy week this week. You know, I've learned a tremendous amount. I was reading an article this week about vibration, and all this comes together, I promise, it really does. And it was talking about the energy of people that are physically fit, that they're physically fit, they're taut. If you think about that word taut, T-A-U-T, right? They're taut, they're tighter, they're taut, they are, they're firm. And I started kind of thinking about the correlation between a taut human being able to vibrate at finer levels than a floppy human. And I made the correlation in my mind to a guitar string. So I was thinking about a guitar string. If you take the guitar string and you let out a whole lot of tension on it, the thing goes, it sounds terrible, right? But as you start tightening it, and then you can get the thing to do what you want it to do when it is tuned right. The guitar string, it's just guitar. But what if that was true for our human body as well? Like, I started having these visualizations of all of us as human beings standing in this concert hall, this amazing philharmonic, and we're not doing anything, we're standing. So I'm literally visualizing all these people standing in this concert hall, and then all the people in the audience standing or sitting and watching, and then seeing the energy of life flowing through this magical river, this ocean of humanity, and the music that we can make together when we are tuned properly. And it occurred to me, it truly occurred to me, that I cannot be tuned properly until I am taught. That means I have to work on strengthening my core. Okay, right? We're going back to these energy things again. There's your physical energy, your mental energy, your emotional energy, your spiritual energy, your financial energy. I have to work at the core of my physical being, because remember, we talked about the energy fields at the outside of your body are lighter, fluffier, more silvery, goldy, and then the closer you get to the physical form, the more dense they become. All it is a concentration of energy in our physical body. Well, if I want to affect all of those other energies, my emotional, my mental, my spiritual, all of those, my financial energy, I have to start at the physical base. So I'm doing it. Just want you to know. I've been working out. It feels so good. Doing just a tiny bit of sweating. I don't like sweating. I just don't, you know, I really don't. Gary loves to sweat. My friend who is staying with us for a while loves to sweat. They both get in there. They get it. We have all kinds of workout equipment and they're both like, oh, you got to try it. You got to sweat. It's like, get on the elliptical. And I'm like, no, I'll go on my little treadmill. It's a walking desk. It's a little treadmill that goes 2 miles per hour. And I love it because I don't sweat on it, but I get my, you know, I'll walk on it for 3 hours, typing away, reading nutritionfacts.org stuff, reading from the Kaiser Permanente Journal, whatever. All kinds of science stuff, reading, listening to music. Love that. And I love just moving my body. And I'm encouraging you to do that too, because if you can get your body taut and you can begin to vibrate at a more intentional and focused level, how much better can you design your life? We get to live our life one of two ways. There's probably one of many ways, but I like this analogy. You get to live your life by default or design. And if we take the opportunity to design our lives, we get better results. My friend John Maxwell says, in order to get better answers, you have to ask better questions. And I think we've talked about this before, but I'm going to share with you my favorite question to ask, which is the, but if I did know question, right? So you say, well, what would it take to, you know, what would it take to have better nutrition? I don't know. But if you did know, what would it take? And so you ask the question of yourself, well, I need to get in better shape, but I don't really know how to start working out. But if I did know, what would I do? Right? So I think to myself, well, I'm not going to run a marathon. My daughters both did a 10K recently, and they're all excited. My older daughter came in second place in her age category, and she just rocked it. I mean, she got a trophy for it. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to run a 5K. Oh, no, it wasn't a 5K. It was a 10K. I'm not running a 10K. And in January or February, I think both daughters are running a half marathon. So could I say that? No. Could I do that? No. Even if I asked myself this question, could I run a marathon? I don't know. But if I did know, what would I do? Well, I wouldn't just go to the marathon or half marathon in February and start running. I would build up to it, right? And that's the same thing you can do in your physical fitness. If you're that person laying in the bed with a type 2 diabetes and severely overweight and a leg that's been amputated below the knee, ask yourself the question, well, how am I supposed to do physical fitness? I don't know. But if I did know, what would I do? Well, maybe I could do some leg lifts. Maybe I could get some 3-pound weights in my arms. And even though I'm laying in a bed, maybe I could do arm lifts. Maybe I could do some things that would begin to bring some tautness into my physical form. Now, there's a reason I'm going off on all this stuff. And the reason is your life matters. What you do on a daily basis matters. What you do every day makes your life. And the decisions you've made in the past are showing up today in your physical body and in your physical circumstances and in your life overall. Look around. Are you happy with what you see? Not just physically. Are you happy with your body? When you look at it naked in the mirror, are you happy? I think Dr. McDougall said that to us recently. He said, first thing you got to do is look at your body. Are you happy with what you see? And when I said to that question, not entirely, I knew there was something I could do to change it. And I know it started by reducing the level of fat that I eat. Because really, guys, you know me. I mean, you've been around the Ocean Mist Power Hour long enough. You know I eat really super healthy, but I still way less now, way less. I was still eating too much fat. And like I always say, like, oh, but it's avocado oil. Oh, it's sesame oil. Oh, it's olive oil. It's so good for you. No, it's not. It's not. And I had to learn that lesson, but I'm learning it and I feel better. There's this whole new sense of energy, of clarity, of purpose. I'm telling you, something has radically changed in me in just a couple weeks. And I'm literally sitting in the studio with goosebumps from head to toe right now because it's amazing and it's dramatic. Now, speaking of dramatic, was that dramatic? Because I didn't think it was dramatic, but I'll tell you what is. I always love this idea that the only way to get better information or to get better answers is to ask better questions. And so I ran across an article recently in the Permanente Journal. Now, this is a peer-reviewed journal of medical science, social science in medicine, and medical humanities. Now, this article is called Lifestyle Medicine, a brief review of its dramatic impact on health and survival. And it's in the Permanente Journal. So, of course, I wrote to the Permanente Journal. I'm like, hey, guys, I have this little community radio show, and we talk a lot about health and fitness and nutrition and blah, blah, and I'd love to share this. May I? And they said, yes, of course. Isn't that nice? I love that they said that. We're going to read the abstract in just a second. I'm going to tell you that there are many, many, many authors, most of whom I would not be able to pronounce all the names. So the first name on here is Balazs Bodai, MD, and the last name is Thomas M. Campbell, MD. Now, Thomas Campbell is one of the guys that I follow and that I studied under at the Center for Nutrition Studies at E. Cornell. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's about 24 other names in there. It's a lot of people. The authors here are all, they've all got MD behind their names. Oh, Dr. Greger's in here. I hadn't even noticed Dr. Greger on there before. Neil Cooper, Raymond Liu. These guys are all amazing, and they've got more initials behind their names than I know what to do with. Okay, Abstract. By ignoring the root causes of disease and neglecting to prioritize lifestyle measures for prevention, the medical community is placing people at harm. Advanced nations influenced by a Western lifestyle are in the midst of a health crisis, resulting largely from poor lifestyle choices. There it comes again, that word lifestyle. Epidemiologic, ecologic, and interventional studies repeatedly indicate that most chronic illnesses, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes, are the result of lifestyles fueled by poor nutrition and physical inactivity. Whoa. Wow. I almost want to read that again. I totally want to read it again, but I'm not going to because we don't have time today. So if you want to read this, you're going to go to thepermanentejournal.org or just type into your browser, Lifestyle Medicine, a brief review of its dramatic impact on health and survival. Okay, in this article, we describe the practice of lifestyle medicine and its powerful effect on these modern instigators of premature disability and death. We address the economic benefits of prevention-based lifestyle medicine and its effect on our healthcare system, a system on the verge of bankruptcy. We recommend vital changes to a disastrous course. Many deaths and many causes of pain, suffering, and disability could be circumvented if the medical community could effectively implement and share the power of healthy lifestyle choices. We believe that lifestyle medicine should become the primary approach to the management of chronic conditions and, more importantly, their prevention. For future generations, for our own health, and for the Hippocratic Oath we swore to uphold, which is first, do no harm, the medical community must take action. It is our hope that the information presented will inspire our colleagues to pursue lifestyle medicine research and incorporate such practices into their daily care of patients. The time to make this change is now. Oh, man. Wow. That, you know, it's so hard to see when we're inside this bubble, guys. We're inside the picture. The frame is around us. And so it's hard. Like, we're sitting on the flat canvas in our dining rooms overlooking the dining area, and we're in the photograph that's looking down on the dining area. So we can't see the frame around us. The frame is a medical system that's hurting people. The frame is a medical system that addresses problems with pills. The frame is a medical system that isn't making progress toward the root cause of disease. And the frame needs to change. And it changes with us each individually taking action, putting our own hands into motion to make changes in our lives. Remember what Wayne Dyer said, and I quoted it earlier, and I'm saying it again. I say this quote a lot to people around me and to myself and in my own life. The only person over whom you have direct and immediate control is you. The only person you control is you. So if that's true, then your lifestyle is in your hands. Now, back to this article. Many consider lifestyle medicine to be a relatively new subspecialty, although it has been practiced for thousands of years. Now, keep in mind, this is in a medical journal, so almost every single sentence has a reference to it. So if you want to see more about it, you're going to read the article, you're going to go down to the reference and click it. You'll be able to find out the study that named whatever they're talking about. You can, citations are throughout this whole thing. Unlike conventional medicine, the focus of lifestyle medicine is not on the treatment of chronic diseases, but rather on their prevention. Chronic diseases are presently the leading cause of morbidity and mortality and are responsible for most of our healthcare expenditure. Most of these chronic conditions are preventable and are the result of an unhealthy lifestyle. Wow! More than 80% of chronic conditions could be avoided through the adoption of healthy lifestyle recommendations. 80% of the population wants to live in a better state of health, but do not know how to pursue it. And minimal information is given by healthcare practitioners on how to implement an effective, long-term plan to achieve health. The ongoing acceptance and adoption of a healthy lifestyle remains our greatest challenge. Implementation of lifestyle recommendations can save lives because lifestyle-related diseases are now the leading cause of mortality in the, quote, modernized world.
An aggressive analysis is needed to review the impact of lifestyle on our health. So why are we sick and dying prematurely? Cardiovascular disease, CVD, and cancer have come to be known as the two killer diseases and account for more than half of all deaths in the U.S. We are experiencing these diseases in the wealthiest nation in the world, which spends more on healthcare per capita than any other advanced economy and yet has some of the poorest health outcomes. The most important problem is our poor lifestyle choices based on misinformation. Oh man, I want to just go off and comment so bad, but I'm going to just keep my trap shut and I'm going to keep reading. Okay, ready? There has been a dramatic shift in the leading causes of death in the U.S. in the past 100 years. Whereas infectious diseases were the primary cause of death in the early 20th century, CVD, cardiovascular disease, and cancer have now assumed dominance in mortality. Additionally, obesity and diabetes are inflammatory conditions that not only contribute to CVD and cancer, but also serve as profound comorbidities. Their shared etiologies promote one another. Whoa! Both are sentinel signals of seriously eroding health, each harboring its own morbidities. This can be changed through a shift in how we take charge of managing our health and the health of our patients through lifestyle medicine. Again, remember, this is an article in the Permanente Journal. It's from physicians for physicians. This is docs talking to docs. Guys, it's docs talking to docs. Do you hear what they're saying? They're saying they have to make a change in the way they practice medicine. And it's not like one or two doctors. It's a compendium of a couple dozen doctors in the Kaiser Permanente, the Permanente Journal, talking to other doctors, saying we got to do something about lifestyle. People are kicking the bucket at astonishing rates. Wow. In this article, we address the pervasive effects of inflammation, obesity, and type 2 diabetes and their cost on the healthcare system. We review evidence on how implementation of lifestyle medicine recommendations may lead to a paradigm shift not only in healthcare delivery, but also on its dramatic impact on chronic conditions. Lifestyle medicine addresses basic recommendations which may extend lives and may allow patients to live longer, in better health, with fewer disabilities, and with an improved quality of life. The intervention recommendations in lifestyle medicine are healthy eating, active living, healthy weight, and emotional resilience. And a sidebar, a special note on emotional resilience. So if you go read this article, you can read that sidebar. Also represented is what we refer to as the red zone, the percentage of the Western population that fails to adhere to such recommendations. Again, there's a chart here you can go look at. It's pretty cool. Lifestyle determines in substantial ways the state of health. A poor lifestyle leads to poor health, and a good lifestyle generally leads to good health. Now, caveat, right? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes people in the best of health get run over by buses. That's just the fact. Life is not without risk. But what we have to do is we have to decide what risks are we willing to take. What's the risk you're willing to take? Is it worth the good, bubbly, socially, you know, social feeling of having booze every single day? Is that risk worth the fact that there has been established in the medical literature? I'm almost afraid to say this because people are going to be like, oh no, I'm not listening anymore. That's so not true. I'm telling you, this is true. The level of alcohol recommended or thought to be safe for human consumption without risk for disease is, ready? Is it 2 drinks a day? Is it 2 to 4 drinks a day? It is 0. The level of alcohol associated with promotion of health is 0. No, none. 0. Zip, zilch, nada. No alcohol. And most people would be like, oh, you are full of beep. I beeped myself. And, you know, what about all those studies that say red wine is good for you? Well, that's because there's resveratrol in red wine, which comes from the red grapes. You could just go ahead and bypass the wine and eat the grapes. So again, if it says here that a poor lifestyle leads to poor health and a good lifestyle generally leads to good health, well then, would you think that hot dogs might be a poorer choice than carrots? They look kind of the same. They both sort of have an orangey color and they're long and skinny, right? Carrots are going to definitely lead to a better outcome than hot dogs. Okay, so the quadrants of total health can be affected by the adoption of whole plant-based foods, a moderate level of exercise, and emotional resilience. Whole plant-based food maximizes the consumption of nutrient-dense foods and minimizes animal-based products, including dairy, and processed foods with added sugar, salt, and oil. Consuming whole plant-based foods is synonymous with an anti-inflammatory diet. Now, this is, to me, such an important point. Most disease is caused on the backs or riding on the backs or surfing on the wave of inflammation in your body. Now, inflammation is generally a good thing. You cut your hand, oh, bummer. Boom, your body sends down some helper cells. It gets inflamed, it gets red, it brings heat, and it heals. Inflammation in that case is a good thing. Inflammation is designed to be a quick and dirty response by the body to take care of something. Boom, they send in the firefighters, they heat it up, they cool it down, you get healed. But when those firefighters are called in and they're on the job all day, every day, all day, every day, all day, every day, riding that wave of inflammation, they get exhausted. Your body gets exhausted. Your immune system suffers. Your whole entire body is set up for a cascade of non-health promoting actions. Your body is set up then in that case in inflammation for all the kinds of diseases we're talking about, from rheumatoid arthritis to cardiovascular disease to cancer, diabetes, name it, dementia. They're all parts of the same thing. That's why this book I'm reading this week, which is Undo It by Dr. Dean Ornish and his wife Ann Ornish, and the subtitle of the book is How Simple Lifestyle Changes Can Reverse Most Chronic Diseases. And I know I'm going back and forth between the article and the book, but I'm trying to draw some lines here for you. The book really talks about all of the diseases not being separate individual disease processes, but being related to the same underlying condition, and that is chronic inflammation. See the word flame in there? Chronic inflammation. Inside the flames, there is an action happening in your body called inflammation, and it's literally meaning the same as being on fire inside your body. So you got to put the fire out, and we do that through lifestyle. A whole foods, back to the article, this is the article in the Permanente Journal. A whole foods plant-based diet promotes the increased consumption of leafy greens, vegetables, fruits, legumes, and whole grains as staple foods. The benefits of a whole foods plant-based diet have been shown to substantially influence the development of cardiovascular disease as well as many common malignancies. Now, what they're talking about, the influence, is not influence of creation, but influence of what they call downregulating. Okay, so downregulating, turning those things off. In addition, an anti-inflammatory diet has beneficial effects on obesity and diabetes, recognized as risk factors for cardiovascular disease and numerous cancers. The benefits of adopting a healthy lifestyle have been extensively documented. A less than optimal lifestyle is associated with the development of chronic conditions and can have a profound impact on the prognosis of such diseases. We summarize the evidence relevant to cardiovascular disease and three of the most common malignancies: colorectal, prostate, and breast cancer. So below this section that I just read are some graphs that are pretty amazing. And I'm not going to try to share them with you because they're hard to see. I won't be able to do them justice. If you want to see the graphs, they pretty much show what the causes of death were in the 1900s and what the causes of deaths are in the 2000s. And the chart are very, very different. In the 1900s, more than 50% was infectious diseases. Well, people don't die of infectious disease much anymore, do they? No. In fact, when's the last time you saw anyone die of a disease of deficiency? Oh, he didn't get enough protein and he died. Did you ever know anyone who had a protein deficiency? Ever in your whole entire life? Ever in your whole entire life have you known anyone with a protein deficiency? And yet, what's the first question most people ask me when they find out that I'm a vegan? Well, where do you get your protein? Like, come on. Where did the religion of protein come from? Note to self, it didn't come from the broccoli board. So protein, diseases of deficiency, you know, they're not around anymore. Malnourishment, not so much. What we're dying from now are diseases of excess. Too much food, too many calories, too much fat, too much plaque, too much fatty streaks. So, okay, Ton of stuff. Want you to go look at it. But let's look at the endemic conditions of the Western world. And if you're just joining us here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, welcome. Really appreciate you tuning in on KCIW 100.7 FM, broadcasting out of Brookings Harbor, Oregon. This place is amazing. This little radio station, Curry Coast Community Radio, what a great place. You know, we get the chance to share relevant, healthy, fun information. And some of our shows are, you know, geek shows like this one on KCIW. And really, this is a geek show. It's a nerd show. I mean, you got to be into nutrition or fast cars or something crazy. Like, I'm always talking about crazy stuff. And sometimes I'm talking about very serious stuff too, right? Like climate change. Oh, all those things. And sometimes people are talking about music and they're sharing oldies or classics or protest songs, whatever it is. You can find something interesting right here on KCIW. So back to the article we're reading from the Permanente Journal. And the article we're reading from is called Lifestyle Medicine, a brief review of its dramatic impact on health and survival. So the endemic conditions of the Western world, in the Western world, we subject ourselves to a poorly recognized, self-inflicted death sentence. We have become victims of three major conditions endemic to the Western world: inflammation, obesity, and type 2 diabetes, which are intricately interrelated and largely result from poor lifestyle choices. Combined, these diseases are lethal. That's the bad news. The good news is that we can now affect these invaders of our health through lifestyle changes. Recent reports have addressed the importance of lifestyle interventions, mainly a healthy body mass index, a healthy diet, increasing physical activity, and managing stress on chronic disease management. Such interventions are based on large-scale prospective studies which provide evidence-based conclusions. See, I love whenever it's talking about evidence-based, because if you're just going to tell me blah, 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 my opinion is this, and what I think is that, and what I read on the newspaper, I don't want to hear any of that. What did you read in a magazine? I don't care. Is it a medical journal? Is it a peer-reviewed medical journal? Is it a respected scientific publication? And I'm not talking about ones with credibility. Well, he's got 800,000 Instagram followers. I don't care. Is he a scientist? Is she a medical doctor? Those are the people I'm paying attention to. And those are the pieces of information that I share with you. So if you're listening into something on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, you can be assured it's not opinion, unless it's me ranting, because I do. It's not opinion, and it's science. It's coming from scientists, it's coming from medical doctors. Now, if I'm, you know, making suggestions to you and saying, hey, you could try this, you could try that, try it after you talk to your medical doctor, right? You heard in the disclaimer before the show even started, don't go through any kind of lifestyle change or whatever until you talk to your medical doctor. That's right. That's right. And you know what else is right? Get some numbers at the beginning. What's your blood pressure? What's your weight? What's your body mass index? The body mass index will tell you how healthy you are, but what's your fat composition? Ask all those questions. What's your A1C? What's your blood sugar? Get all that information. Then do some radical changing to your diet. You know, radical, like eating strawberries, bananas, apples, celery, broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus. Ooh, super radical. And then go back in 30 days and get your numbers done again. You know what? Your mind will be blown. Cholesterol, down. Blood pressure, down. Fat, down. BMI, down. Right? I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away. So we live in a world, this is in the inflammation category, we live in a world that initiates, promotes, and accelerates chronic inflammation. Inflammation has been implicated as a causative factor in nearly all chronic diseases. From an evolutionary perspective, the body's inflammatory response was vital for survival before modern sanitation processes, you know, things like water purification, sewer systems, and the recognition of hygiene issues such as hand washing. Today, we live longer, and thus inflammatory responses are more likely to confuse and overwhelm the body's defense systems. Many attributes of our Western lifestyle incite an inflammatory response, such as continued lifestyle exposures perpetuate unmitigated inflammation. Now, Dr. Greger always says this one thing that I think is so funny. He's like, look, if you were bashing yourself on the leg on your dining room table three times a day, every single day, eventually you'd say, gosh, you know, that shin, my right shin really hurts. It's that every time I bash my leg on the dining table, it hurts. Well, because there's an inflammatory response. At some point, you might just say, gosh, maybe I'll stop bashing my leg on the table. Maybe I'll stop hitting myself in the head with a hammer. Well, what about your fork? You've heard this so many times, your fork, your fingers, your face, your food, the U factor, all those Fs, right? There's a lot of Fs in there. Well, maybe it's time to take a functional approach to this. And the functional approach is, what is my lifestyle and how is that affecting my health? Now, what about obesity? Obesity is the second endemic condition we face. 2 of 3 Westerners are either overweight or obese. Oh my God, that's crazy. 2 of 3 Westerners are either overweight or obese. Furthermore, obesity is an inflammatory disease. Adequate physical activity and normalizing weight decreases the inflammatory reaction of the body and may help mitigate the massive immune response to infectious agents that serve as a stimulus for carcinogenesis. Inflammatory proteins, such as interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor, and C-reactive protein, among others, are elevated in obese patients because of excess adipose tissue. Wow! I'm reading that again because that's crazy. Inflammatory proteins, such as interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor, and C-reactive protein, among others, are elevated in obese patients because of excess adipose tissue. Adipose tissue equals fat. Wow! The current focus of obesity is centered on cardiovascular disease, yet cancer is far more feared and less frequently addressed. A 2008 Surveillance Epidemiology and End Results SEER program study estimated that nearly 90,000 cases of cancer were caused by obesity. Estimates are that the continuing trend in obesity will lead to an additional 500,000 deaths by the year 2030. Additionally, obese individuals are more likely to live in a state of chronic inflammation. And what other chronic conditions might they have? Depression? Anxiety? Agoraphobia? They don't want to go outside. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to look in the mirror. They're unhappy with life. Come on now. Come on now. If this is you and you don't know where to start, you can ask yourself that really important key critical question. But if I did know, what would I do? I don't know where to start, but if I did know, where would I start? I don't know what the first thing is to do, but if I did know, what would it be? Ask yourself that question. Back to the article, the common link between inflammation and obesity may well reside in the gastrointestinal gut microbiome. The physiology of the gut remains poorly defined. However, recent advances in molecular tools such as gene sequencing have allowed a more intricate understanding of the role of the gut microbiome as an endocrine organ that manufactures hundreds, if not thousands, of chemicals that influence the regulation of multiple distant organs. What does that mean? It means that the critters that live in your belly are telling your body what to do. Okay, I'm going to read it again because I really want you to hear this. It's important. Coming back here to recent advances in molecular tools such as gene sequencing have allowed a more intricate understanding of the role of the gut microbiome as an endocrine organ that manufactures hundreds, if not thousands, of chemicals that influence the regulation of multiple distant organs. Distant organs, like your gut is right here and your liver's over here. Your gut is right here and your spleen is over here. Your gut is right here and your heart's up here. Your gut's right here and your brain's up there, right? So those other organs are distant from your gut. But it's acting as an endocrine organ that manufactures thousands of chemicals that influence the regulation of multiple distant organs. Wow, that's mind-blowing. Such compounds play a substantial role in the development of a leaky gut. Everybody's heard of leaky gut, right? Do you know what it is? That allows toxins to enter the bloodstream and results in inflammation and promotion of cardiovascular disease, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and chronic diseases. What? Yes, the hot dogs aren't your friend. Ice cream's not your friend. Extra food is not your friend. Do you realize that the more food you put in your body, the more energy your body needs to maintain a larger frame? So if you're, oh God, this week, twice this week, I saw 2 absolutely beautiful young women just as huge as a chair, an executive chair in an office. It was as if their body was the chair and there were arms and legs coming off. And I just felt my heart just both cases, they were carrying these giant Starbucks things with those big domed lids with the whipped cream all over the top and the big super extra giant straw so you can slurp even more out of them at the same time. And I felt so bad for both of these young ladies. Number one, they're not happy. And you can see it all over their face. They're not happy. Their knees, both girls, separate, totally separate instances, I saw them. Both girls wearing summer wear, Their knees are collapsing. So their body comes down straight and then their knees are pushed together and their ankles are sort of out to the side. Their skeletons are literally collapsing under the weight of their bodies. And you know they're not happy and it hurts my feelings so bad. I just want to go and just wrap my arms around them and give them love and compassion and say, you know what? It's got to be so hard to be doing what you're doing and you're doing it to yourself. The only person over whom you have direct and immediate control is you. And you're doing this and you can make a change. Now, it's hard for teenagers. It's hard for kids that live in a household where the parents are doing this. They're modeling this behavior for their kids. They're buying their kids the Starbucks junk. They're bringing home Lucky Charms. Kids in a situation like that don't stand a chance. And they were not given a chance from the day they were born to obese parents. And so what I'm saying to you, I'm not judging you. And I'm not body shaming you. I'm telling you that you can change it. And you can ask that question. I don't know how to change it. But if I did know, what would I do? But if I did know, what would I do? So back to the article. The gut microbial complex appears to be a major factor responsible for metabolic and inflammatory diseases, linking inflammation and obesity to additional factors such as alterations in lipid metabolism and insulin signaling. The accumulation of fat promotes a chronic inflammatory state that results in the activation and recruitment of immune cells, which leads to an ongoing, self-perpetuating process. A major hallmark of obesity is documentation of the occurrence of inflammation. So here we go back to that whole thing. The body's on fire. It's kind of like the climate right now. The earth is on fire. Our bodies are on fire too. Wow, the climate's kind of like a weird inflammation of the planet. The result is a state of chronic inflammation promoting the disease states of our modern civilization. The steps in the pathogenesis of inflammation are depicted in Figure 3, which again, you can go look at it, in their most simplified form to help readers understand chronic disease progression. I'm going to go down there and look at number 3. Let's talk about it because this is actually pretty cool. Here's what number 3 says. Figure 3 shows unhealthy diet, sedentary lifestyle, high stress, and medications is in this list. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is written by docs for docs, physicians to physicians, in a medical journal. It shows that the progression starts with 4 things: unhealthy diet, sedentary lifestyle, high stress, and medications. Those 3 things feed into microbiome dysbiosis, that means an unstable, unhappy gut, oxidative stress, and cell injury. Those 3 things feed into the next phase, which is chronic inflammation. And that feeds into the final phase, which is obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, depression, and anxiety. Can you even believe that? Wow. You know what? This is an amazing time to be alive. Here we are in 2019, and we have the opportunity with incredible information at our fingertips to be able to learn from scientists far and near, from medical doctors far and near, to take the best of the best information and apply it into our own lives in a way that can be meaningful and helpful to us. You always hear me say this, I'll say it again. Isn't your life worth energy, the ability to play with your grandchildren or your kids, to be able to go out and do the things you want to do? When's the last time you rode a bike, walked a mile, went jogging, got on an elliptical or a treadmill? Maybe you do those things all the time. Maybe you're not here for any of those reasons. Maybe you're just listening because this is a fun, you know, high energy broadcast. I don't know why you're here. But if you're here, what I would tell you is we're at a point in human history where never before have we had the access to information that we have now. And we can take it, use it, modify it, internalize it, make it our own, make our lives into something bigger and better than we might have dreamed just by making a few minor tweaks in what we eat and drink and how we live our lives. You know, Dr. Ornish in his book, Undo It, he says we have to eat well, move more, stress less, and love more. Those are sort of his 4 cornerstones of his program. And we just heard this in this Permanente Journal article that we barely even read half of. This article is called Lifestyle Medicine, a brief review of its dramatic impact on health and survival. Health and survival. You know, I was talking to a friend yesterday and she said, you know, I don't even want to be 89. This lady's not even 59 yet. She's like, I don't want to be 89. I just like, oh, and she was kind of whiny about it. And I was like, why not? Well, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't want to like be old and sick. And I said, you don't have to be old and sick. You can be old and healthy. You could be old and healthy. How about that? How about the idea that you don't have to take medicine? You can reverse chronic disease. You can make it go away. You can take medicine. In fact, I've decided from now on, I'm going to say I take medicine. So when people say, do you take medicine? I'm going to say, oh, I take medicine every day. I'm on dozens of medicines. And they're going to look at me because I look pretty healthy. And they're going to be like, really? You take medicine? I'm like, yeah, apples, broccoli, carrots, sprouts. Oh my God. Beans, garbanzo beans. It's overwhelming the medicine I have to take. Kale, romaine. Oh my God. That's so much medicine. And guess what? Iceberg lettuce is back on the table, people. It's full of antioxidants. So if you love iceberg lettuce, I'm telling you right now, I love that stuff. Love, 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 love it. Love it. And I like romaine. I like romaine, but I love iceberg. I will eat a salad with iceberg every single day. And every time I eat it, I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, there's nothing in it. There's no nutrition in it. Nope, wrong. Scratch. There's something in it. It's full of antioxidants. Full of antioxidants. So if you love yourself, your iceberg, go get some organic iceberg lettuce. It's $2 a head. Isn't $2 worth it? Come on now. Get yourself some iceberg lettuce. Fill up your salad and your plate with all kinds of colorful medicine. Berries, nuts, seeds, onions, mushrooms, greens and beans and corn and green beans and you name it. There's so many great fruits and vegetables that you can put into your body that are all part of this idea of lifestyle medicine. And remember, it's full lifestyle. It's what you eat. It's what you do, how much you move. It's how little stress you're under. And remember that story I told earlier about being, you know, a big wig in an agency and having a partnership and all of that and ending up in the hospital and being told you got to change what you're doing? I'll tell you another story another time, where a doctor literally said to me, you have to stop what you're doing right now. Oh, that's a really good story because it's a kind of has a mind-blowing end to it. You get to decide those things. And the stress level, when I heard that from that doc and I changed my stress immediately and I took off those few pounds that I was carrying and all those things went away. The heavy chest went away. The high blood pressure went away. The heart palpitations, everything disappeared. So I was on that path. I was going down that path. I was headed down that trail toward endemic disease, but I stopped it. I decided, remember, the only person over whom you have direct and immediate control is yourself. I thank the late, great Wayne Dyer for that quote. I thank you for joining us today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, for being part of this weird and wacky nutrition nerd thing that we got going on here. And I welcome you to come back next time on the Ocean Mist Power Hour right here on KCIW 100.7 FM. Thank you.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.